You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to be chatting with a process consultant, productivity expert, her own podcast host, a speaker, consultant, and owner of Success Consulting Group, which is based here, not very far from me, just outside of Portland, Oregon, in a beautiful suburb just south of us. Adi Klevit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. So happy to be here.
So, you know, when I look at the list of things that that you do or that I could introduce you as, first of all, I'm incredibly intimidated because it requires such attention to detail, such organization, and a lot of us business owners don't tend to have those skills. So kudos for you for being one who does. And I want to sort of talk a little bit about what you do for a living as you support businesses, and then maybe we can talk about how some of that applies directly to the world of marketing.
Sure, I'd love to.
So why don't we sort of kick things off by talking about sort of your business overall and the types of projects that you work on and the types of businesses you support.
Sure, so, you know, companies hire us to bring order into the chaos of the day-to-day and overall business, right? Mm-hmm. So even if your business is not chaotic, it's still, what we love to do is to bring order into situations, organize by creating, documenting, and implementing processes and procedures. That's really in a nutshell what we do. So we work with a variety of industries and we address the different areas of the organization, whether it's sales, operations, marketing, business development, HR, finance, et cetera. So we basically create, document, and implement processes and procedures for those businesses.
Now, you know, when I hear the type of stuff that you do, my gut reaction, and I imagine many of our listeners, is, oh, well, that's stuff that larger businesses need. I'm a small business. I don't need that stuff. And I'm going to guess, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to guess that that's not the case.
You know, it's interesting because it depends the size of the business, right? And we're going to talk about how it relates to marketing, et cetera. So my advice is usually, yes, I mean, first of all, you can have processes for everything. I mean, honestly, when you wake up in the morning and you make your coffee, you already have a process. I mean, I would assume that you probably repeat yourself every day, right? I mean, how many of us actually wake up in the morning and, you know, make our coffee or our tea differently? Probably not. You know, you boil the water, you do this, you do that, right? So that's a process. But when do you actually have to start documenting the processes, right? When do you actually have to start creating the processes? So my advice to business owners is at the beginning, when you're starting your business, unless you are, you know, a startup with capital and you want to do everything right from the beginning, you don't need to document your processes, because what you need at that point, you need a lot of marketing so you can actually have customers, clients, patients, whatever you need in order to get in the door so you can service them or produce, right? And then you get to a point where you are scaling, you are growing, you are adding people to your team. It's not just you. At that point, you definitely need to start with the process creation and documentation. So would it be helpful to have it at the beginning? Absolutely. But you also have, I know, you know, we all know that you have that many hours in a day, right? Yeah. So I would not, okay, so if you're a solopreneur or you have a team of two or three, continue to grow and then start documenting and organizing. You will know the point where you go, okay, if I had well-documented processes and procedures, I could grow faster. I could bring another team member. I can do much better. So that is really the point where you have to start documenting. So from my experience, that will be when you are, you know, it's hard to tell because it's depend on the industry. Each industry is different and you need a different amount of people, but I would say definitely a team of five or more.
And so documentation, I mean, it solves lots of problems. The So years ago, I was working for an organization, and one day our boss came to us and said, okay, we got this project, and we called it The Project. And the project was that over the next period of time, I don't remember if it was a month, 2 months, you know, the half a year, we were to write down everything that we did that was a repetitive task. And it was a documentation of kind of what our job was, what we how we did the things we did, so that we could put it into a binder. And the reason we were doing this wasn't to be able to train somebody who, you know, comes in to help us or to replace us or anything. It was the, what if you get hit by a bus, right? This was the get hit by a bus project. Now, I imagine that's not the reason most organizations do this stuff. There's probably a range of reasons, and I wonder if you can kind of walk us through some of the reasons why documentation is so critical or so important in different circumstances.
Sure. So, you know, the first one that I hear a lot is consistency. It's really consistency of operations. So as business grows, so that's why I brought the point, you know, as you grow, as you develop, you have more staff, you develop more processes, you want to make sure that everybody does it the same. So it's consistency. It's also ability to grow. So a lot of times I hear from clients, they say, well, I want to 3X my company. I want to 7X my company. I want to 10X my company. And they know that in order to do that, you have to have a turnkey operation. You have to have an operation that is runs very well and very predictably. So then you know that you can grow it and multiply it. Another reason why is, of course, efficiency and increased productivity, which goes together with consistency, but that's a different angle to look at it. Increased profitability, you know, if you're doing things, let's say, for instance, right now I'm working with a client where they're just growing like crazy. And I'm working with the lead supervisor to really see how we can actually create more hours in the day. And the way that you do that is really look at the repetitive tasks, so the tasks that are done over and over, especially in the training part, is how can we cut the training from 3 hours to 2 hours by them, first of all, watching a video or reading a procedure and then doing a one-on-one training, right? So training, employee retention is another one because, you know, it's much easier to work in an environment or in a company that is predictable and you know what is expected and how to do things. So it's not like your first day at work is like, okay, welcome to the company. Let's, you know, just shadow somebody and figure it out, as opposed to, here's the university, here is the training manual, here is how you do things, this is what expected from you in the first 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, etc. It just creates a different culture. And that's another reason is ability to train. The hit by the bus, so I like to make more call it like, you know, cross-training or knowledge transfer. If someone leaves, if your key employee leaves or somebody's not there, that the team knows how to actually wear those hats and actually do those the work that somebody else is doing. So it gives you, again, predictability, risk mitigation. Another reason is better customer service. You know, you're going to get better customer experience or client experience if it's predictable, if it's repeatable, et cetera.
So as I was listening to that list, there was very little in there that I could say doesn't apply directly or indirectly to marketing. Right, to business growth. You talked about revenue growth. You talked about consistency. You talked about customer service, and there's a lot more nuance in some of the other areas that aren't as obvious a piece of marketing. But as you know, because you know the stuff that we do in our business, we believe that everything is marketing in the business, right? Every point of contact with the client or patient or you know whoever, but also you talked about company culture, right? A good company culture is going to have happy employees, which is going to trickle down and translate to a great customer experience, right?
For sure.
So all of this, as I see it, actually does apply to marketing, but there are some very specific activities within a business that absolutely apply to marketing. And I know that you work with clients in some areas as it pertains to marketing. I wanted to, you know, sort of look at some of those that you've encountered and where you see common challenges or mistakes in businesses when it comes to sort of process around marketing or business growth, and what you typically recommend to either fix it or to become more consistent or whatever else it is that you know sort of solves the problem.
Right. So I think it's the consistency, because we both know that, you know, you, let's say they work with you and you create a great marketing strategy. Now, and I'm not a marketing consultant, so I don't create a strategy, but let's say we work together, which we have mutual clients, and, you know, you create a great strategy. Now, it's only going to be as good as it's being implemented, right? Because you can create a great strategy, but then there have to be a repetition or creating of habits within the organization that have to happen. So let's say, for instance, if we talk about social media, so we have a strategy on what the message is going to be, how we're going to present ourselves in social media, how often we're going to post, et cetera. But now it has to be a repeatable process of creating the content, of posting it. Also, the approval part has to be a process, right? So you have all of those things that have to be repeated and also have to be done consistently in order to see results. Otherwise, you would say, oh, yeah, I tried this marketing campaign, but it's not working. Well, why? Because we did it once. No, sometimes you have to do it over and over and over again, right? So I feel in terms of mistakes that you asked me, somebody can have a great idea or a great strategy, but if it's not being implemented, you can't really monitor the results. And if you don't break it down to doable steps, then it's not going to happen. And that's a process. You know, you were on my podcast and we talked about your book in terms of the email marketing, right? And how to build your list. You created a great process there, but in order for it to work, it has to be done, right? Yeah. And it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen one time. It's something that you have to do over and over and over in order to grow that list. It's a process that works, but it has to be done. And you laid it out very well in terms of the process itself. So that's a great example of creating a workable process that then has to be followed, like assigned to somebody and actually followed and tied into a scorecard to actually monitor the results.
You know, as you were talking about the consistency with the social media, right? I was thinking a slightly different path than what you were describing, but it's equally as important. So there's consistency of a single individual who is following the steps, but often what happens is businesses will have somebody with a set of skills, they're really good at it, and then they leave and get replaced by somebody else who may have a different set of skills. And so there's inconsistency in how work is getting done, or even what work is being focused on, because the strengths of an individual change over time. How do you deal with that sort of thing in an organization?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point. I actually had a conversation with a client yesterday, because we documented the process and he actually hired somebody that has great skills for that particular position and executing that process. And we see a difference between that person executing the process and the other person, right? So the process does not take the place of an individual with a specific set of skills. So we talked about it. So what if that person leaves? Well, then my client says, well, now I know who to hire, what set of skills that person needs to have in order to actually execute the process, right? So the process would not take away the skills. You know, if there is a process, let's take a process of, let's say we are documenting the processes for a chef, right, in a restaurant. You know, the chef is an artist. You know, there is the ability of them to execute. I mean, you can give me a recipe. The same recipe can be given to me and to you. If I have a little bit more talent, or you have more talent or more ability to put it together well, it will come out in the final product. It might be that we're both going to bake the same cake and it will look similar, but we'll add that X factor that we can explain, right? The skill, the creativity will be added to the process. So that's where you still have the human element. You know, it doesn't go away. We're not robots that we're just executing the process. The process allows us to be able to be more creative because we know what the steps need to be done. We don't have to think about it, but then we add our creativity, our skill set into that process. But back to your question is, we have to identify for each process or each position in a company, what are the skill sets that are necessary in order to do this the best way that is possible.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, some organizations, this is certainly true of like a news organization, has a style sheet for writing or a voice that they have identified, so that even if you have different people with different, you know, writing skills, for example, that they have not only here are the steps, but here's the voice that you're writing in. Here are the words that we always return to describe the things that we believe or do or the situations that we tend to talk about.
Sure. And that's what we use, like best advice. We always document best advice and best practices because it creates that consistency, right? And we actually use the same aspect when the same concept when we write our processes and procedures. We write it with the voice of the company. So we align it with the culture of the company. So, you know, something that, like, let's say an engineering firm and a hip marketing agency are going to, the processes are going to be written in a different voice, but it's always going to be the voice of the company with their culture and core values and the mission in mind. So it all aligns.
So you've just layered on some additional things here that are like, it's not as simple as, you know, my boss from so many years ago said, just write down everything you do. Right. It's also, there's more to it.
Oh, there is more to it. And it also has to be, you know, you have to also take into account the balance between how much detail you're going to write and what's the purpose of what you're writing. Right. So I always like to design first the processes. So basically map them, have a plan of what we're going to document. How does it all fit within the organization? What are the core processes we need to document for sure? And what will be just nice that we will do if we have time? What is the level of detail we are going to go into? And of course, also utilizing videos, screenshots, documents that will support it, checklists, forms, whatever it is, you know, it's a whole, you know, it comes with different aspects of it. It's not just like typing, what am I doing, right? So because you really have to look at the end user in mind. And if they really, it is, okay, well, you know, if something happens and you get hit by the bus, I really don't like that analogy, but I understand like why it was used. You know, so let's say something happens and that person is not there anymore. So at least there is something. But now with the technology that we have, you know, it's all electronic. So it's not going to be just pieces of paper in a binder that is, you know, accumulating dust. It's a living, breathing document that people actually refer to in order to handle issues in the organization, in order to resolve problems, in order to train. So it's something that has to be updated constantly and written in such a way that people are attracted to read it and not repelled from reading it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to maybe walk through an example or two of how you apply some of this to marketing activities. And, you know, obviously there's marketing activities that are not set and forget, but, you know, sort of set up and let them operate like advertising or lead generation or web design or that sort of thing. And then there are marketing activities like networking or referral process, for example. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, that was something that you covered on your podcast at one point with Robin from BNI in those areas. And I wonder if you can sort of talk about sort of the approach to creating a system and process and maybe process documentation, who knows, for an activity like networking.
Sure. Yeah, we can cover that. And so activity like networking, so you need to have the process of, first of all, who are you going to network with, right? You have to decide. So it's not random, but it's more thoughtful. And you have to have the process of how do you decide whether this is a good networking group for you or not, right? Or how do you decide if this person is a center of influence, is basically a person that you want to meet on a regular basis? So you have to have a process for, or maybe a checklist, because we all have the mental checklist saying, oh yeah, this is a good group because this and that, right? But if you actually had a checklist where you run with specific questions that you can run through and decide whether this is a good engagement or not a good engagement, depending on also where you're at in your business and the time available, that can be the first step of deciding. So then let's say you have that. Okay, good. So now the next step is you join the group And now you have a process of how you're going to actually participate in the group. Because honestly, a group will be only good for you as much as you put into it, whatever you're going to put into it, and how much are you going to utilize the group. And it has to be within the rules, the mores, the agreements in the group, right? So let's say we talked about BNI. So if you join BNI, it is expected that you're actually going to do activities outside of BNI as well, such as meetings and finding referrals and continuing education, etc. So you should have a process for that, because you already know that that's expected. So you should have a process for your one-to-one, meaning like for those meetings that you meet with potential referral sources outside of the weekly meeting. Mm-hmm. So you should have a checklist. What am I going to go over? You know, how am I going to prepare for that meeting? What should I do in order to prepare? So for instance, you know, you should definitely review the other person's LinkedIn profile and their website as an example, right? So that can be on the checklist, prepare for the meeting. Prepare questions that you're going, come prepared with questions that you're going to answer. Be prepared about yourself. You know, you might be asked to show or demonstrate or give a brochure or any information that you have about your company. So come prepared with that. So that would be part of the process. Prepare it ahead of time. Then you should have a process on how to actually conduct a successful meeting. And, you know, that might be an overkill. I mean, you know, you go, what, you have process for everything, but you really, if you do that, then your time becomes more effective, right? I mean, we're talking about time management. Well, what is time management? You manage your time so every moment counts. So if you actually follow that process, at the end of the meeting, you're going to have meaningful meetings that actually have the end result that you want to achieve. So you do the meeting according to a process that you set up, and then you have a follow-up. You know, the follow-up, for instance, process is very important. So you're done with the meeting. What do you do next? Okay, you write a thank you card, a written thank you card. It should be part of your process. You know, let's say you took notes and you promised to help that person by introduction or by doing something, then go and do it, right? Log in the meeting into your CRM with notes and create the next activity of what you're going to do, how you're going to follow up. All of that is a process. And if you don't have it well formulated, it's a hit or miss. You know, sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't. So sometimes it might end up that you had a great meeting with great coffee and you had a great conversation, but what is the future from there, right? How do you actually maximize the time for both sides? You know, because you're helping another person as well when you're doing it, because the meeting is more meaningful for them as well. So, and then of course the process continue with the follow-up is following up on the activities you set up in the CRM. I know it sounds very complex, but if you actually figure out, you know, you're already doing those things, again, it's hit and miss. So if you take all your successful networking events or all your successful networking meetings that were meaningful and had a result, you know, if you take those and you go, okay, this is what I did here and here and here, just repeat it. It's definitely will ensure success.
You know, one of the best networking, or outside of a networking event, a follow-up meeting that I had with anyone was totally structured, kind of the way that you're describing. And look, I appreciate that. Not everybody, you know, sort of wants to have the structure that I want to, but I like beginning a meeting with an agenda, and it doesn't have to be formal. It's like, you know, what do you want to accomplish before we're this time is finished, right? So that it's clearly articulated and both parties know what they're there for. But I remember one meeting I had with somebody who had a sheet that she always brought to every first time meeting, and it was to make sure that we covered everything about what do you do, who do you serve, what do you do, who do you serve, how do you like, what's the procedure for referring people to you. And we both did those things and both documented those things. She may have even handed me a copy of the sheet, so I wrote it all down too, which is very clever on her part, because then it's like my souvenir documentation for how to refer her, right? Some people will think this is corny. I loved it because it really it demonstrated she was prepared. She had a structure for doing all of this, and then obviously there was equally as smart follow up on her part after that meeting occurred.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's either you leave it up to luck, and maybe it was a good meeting, maybe not, and maybe I remember to follow up, maybe not. But if you actually have that process and you are prepared, and you know what to talk about and you know how to follow up, then it's effective, you know? So it's all about effectiveness. I mean, think about it. Let's say you go to a gym and you look at all the machines and you go, oh, well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Oh, maybe I'll do this one and then I'll do that one. And I wonder how this machine works, et cetera, as opposed to getting with a trainer, you know, having like, you know, a plan, and then you just go and, you know, in half an hour, you're out of there, but you did work out as you wanted, and you are going to see the results, depending on what results you want. You are going to see the results within a month, 2 months, 3 months, et cetera. And then you maintain whatever it is, but it is structured. And maybe it's not for everyone, but if you really look at what I like to do is really study successful people and how they operate. What do they do, right? And if you look at successful people, they have a system. They don't just do things haphazardly and just whether it happens or doesn't happen. It's really like they have a system, they follow it, they're very organized. And I think it's a great way of living life.
All right. So you got a business that's hearing all of this and they're saying, gosh, we've really missed the ball. We better start doing something about this. Now, there's two ways that they can go. They can hire somebody to help them, and in a moment we'll tell people how they can find you and chat with you and your team about the services that you have. But they also can probably figure out how to do a DIY approach in this. And so I wonder if you can take a couple of minutes to sort of talk about the things they need to think about or the plans they need to put in place if they're going to do a DIY approach to organizing all this stuff for themselves.
Sure. So the first thing is commitment. The first thing is a decision saying, agreeing. Everybody has to agree, or at least it starts from the top, and then giving that, like what you said, the project, right? So if we have to decide as a company that we are going to engage with we're going to start and we're committed to this project of documenting our processes and procedures. And I believe that you have to find the why. What is your why? Like why are we doing it for? Because at some point, if it's just being done for the sake of doing it, it's not going to happen because other things will take priority. So are we doing it because we want to sell the business in 2 years and everything has to be documented so we can increase the value of the company? Are we doing it because we have an employee that is so vital to the business that if they leave or something happens, we're going to be in big trouble and we're going to lose everything, right? So that's the risk mitigation. Did we get too many customer complaints and we really need to streamline our processes so we actually have a smooth process? You know, so what is your why? And then push with that why, you know, definitely talk to the staff and say, this is what we are engaging upon because we want to accomplish 1, 2, and 3. And that is something you'll have to come back to as you move through the process documentation, because it becomes harder and people lose sight of the mountain why we are doing it, right? So you have to continue doing that. So that's the big level. And that is very important. And you have to have commitment. You have to make commitment from the business owner, from the COO, CFO, whoever is running that project, that this project is going to get done. And then what I would do is I would break the project into doable targets. So the first question that I always ask is, what area in your company, if you had well-documented processes and procedures, you will get the biggest return on investment? And return on investment, again, it doesn't have to be money. I mean, eventually it will all come to profit, but what is it? Is it more time? You're working 60 hours a week right now. You want to work 40? Is it a return investment on security? You can sleep well at night because you know that if your key employee leaves, you're still going to have it. So answer that question and decide, okay, so let's say it's your sales department, like your estimator. Without him or her, you know, their business is going, you feel like your business is not going to go forward. Okay, good. So let's document the processes of the sales department. At that point, what you need to do is you need to break it down to chunks. Like, how do you actually accomplish your sales cycle? So it's usually lead generation, lead qualification, estimating or scoping the work or whatever it is, whatever is your type of like understanding what the client, the needs and wants. Then present proposal writing, proposal presentation, et cetera. Then from there is the closing of the deal and onboarding the client, right? Those are usually the big steps. Then each step, you basically have to now break it down to what you do. So again, start big, go to the next level, and then the next level. And utilize videos. Like if you have somebody who is doing it, like let's say in a sales cycle, you have a sales meeting, video it. So at least you have a video of those sales meetings. So then somebody can extract the common denominator. That's what we're really good at, is extracting the common denominator. So my advice is also, when somebody says, oh, that cannot be documented because it's different every single time. No, there are common denominators. So we need to find what those are, right? So that would be my advice. And then if you have more than one person, let's say you have three estimators, have one write a section or a procedure and then have the other two review it. So then you can go back and forth and add comments or edit it or revise it as needed. And I will use a process documentation software. I like to use Sweet Process or use Whale.io or Trainual. Those are wonderful, wonderful platforms that you can actually document there. It's cloud-based. Everybody can access it. And it basically allows you to format everything uniformly. So it's not a Google document or, a Word document in some kind of
Or the binders format that we had, where we were each documenting our own thing and inconsistent in how we were writing it.
Totally. That's right. And my last piece of advice, when you're doing that, finish the project. And then make sure that it's followed by all. So everyone is aware of it, that you are deploying it to the entire company. And I have a great podcast on the system. It's called the System Simplified Podcast. And you can also go to my website. And I did a whole podcast about how to make sure your processes are followed by all. So I would definitely, I don't have enough time to go over it. It was 45 minutes, but I gave the steps of how you actually make sure that the process is followed by all.
Thankfully, we have the ability to link to that, which we will.
Yes,
We'll also make sure to link to your website so that when our listeners have finally picked themselves off the floor after listening to that long list of things that they need to do by doing it themselves and said, wow, that's a lot. I'm not going to be able to handle it. I need professional help. And they probably need a professional in your line of business as well. They can go and find you. Where can they do that?
They can go to bizsuccesscg.com. That's B-I-Z, the word success spelled out, and CG for consultinggroup.com. So bizsuccesscg.com. You can email me at ad@bizsuccesscg.com. You can also call us at 503-662-2911. Find me on LinkedIn, Adi Klevit, a lot of places to find us.
Well, we'll make sure to leave as many of those links as we can remember to. In the meantime, Adi Klevit, thank you so very much for sharing your wisdom with us today on More Perfect Marketing.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for having me here.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Hope to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.